Hello and welcome back to My First Panic Attack with myself, Josh Gunston. Hello, sorry it's been a while. It's been about 3 weeks since I've actually uploaded an episode, and then in turn, that got me to stress the fuck out because, you know, when you put something off and then you just keep putting it off, then you feel like a dickhead and you're like, fuck, I need to do something. That's what happened to me. But the positive news, I'm feeling fucking good. Things are good. Life is good. And in turn, I felt like it was appropriate to make an episode and kind of update people on my situation. Personally, haven't got a guest today, I'm sorry, but the last personal episode I did, I was speaking about quite a severe, brutal panic attack that I experienced. That was about 4 to 5 weeks ago now. I don't know the exact date, I'm really sorry. I should have done some research before this episode, but it's been about a month. I'm pretty sure that happened mid to late July. So we're about a month through it now. And I think that was quite a difficult time. So, like I was saying, I thought maybe I'll just do an episode to update people on how I'm doing, my current situation, and kind of base the episode around the healing process and how things can get better and things do change. You know, you're not in this rut forever. You can get out of it. So I think it's quite an interesting topic, so I think I'm just going to jump straight in and explain that. But before I get there, I want to kind of update everyone on what's going on with the podcast series. So to begin, I had a few technical issues with my podcast suite that I was using because, for those who don't know, I used to live in Brixton, but now I'm living back in Brighton, living at my parents' house, and I can record a podcast here, but it's a little bit rude, I think, to bring random guests to my house because it's my parents' home and they're a little bit older. It's not fair for me to kind of just bring guests through to their home. So I've been using an external podcasting suite, and there was a little bit of back and forth on if that suite was going to be continuing in August. But the good news, as of today, it is going to be continuing its use. So I will be able to use that facility moving forward. So I've got so many guests still that I need to bring on the show, and now I have to go back and like reschedule and reorganize all these dates and arrange when's good for certain people, etc., etc. So it's a little bit of back and forth, but there will be more guests coming on to the show just when the time's right. I can't keep putting pressure on myself. It is a lot of work having to, even just doing one show a week, it's, you know, it's a physical face-to-face experience, so it is quite difficult to get the timings done correctly and then work it out with the actual podcasting suite and then with the guest and then with my own schedule, and I'm fucking busy as it is. So essentially I can't commit to one guest a week, maybe two a month. So I can't even commit to a bi-weekly formula, just maybe two guests a month, maybe. But the point is, I think what I'll do is push a lot of these solo episodes as well. I had some really good feedback from friends and family, and also just like some random people that I never met before who said they really enjoyed my personal journey. And that was nice to know. So I will also keep this dialogue running within the guest features. And I think that's a great thing to do, because I think then it kind of gives a good balance and you can see my conversations with people, but also you can hear my personal thoughts and my personal journey also. But it's not just about me. Please understand that it's not just about me, it's about everyone. But the personal journey is also, I'm trying to highlight something. Did you just hear my stomach just rumbled really badly. I hope I didn't actually pick anything up, but now I've just brought attention to it. That's probably not the best shout. But anyway, the point is, I know it's not about my personal story, but the personal story kind of creates a narrative as to the kind of the average individual, because I feel like everyone needs to hear what it's like for someone to experience this. Then it in turn will create kind of some sort of like relatable content and so forth and so forth. So anyway, that's my kind of plan moving forward. I'm going to try and get two episodes out a month, have two guests on a month, or I'll work it out as we move forward. Also, I've just rebranded the podcast, so do check out the new artwork. Let me know what you think, because I actually made the original artwork on Canva, which is a great piece of kit. Don't get me wrong, great software. But I then saw someone release an album recently and it had the same hearts. And then I felt sad. So I thought I would change it. So shouts to my Donnie Mofo, who actually rebranded the entire artwork recently. Yes, yeah, so anyway, and now I've got a colour scheme. which you might or might not notice. So the pink and black is like my solo stuff, and then the color stuff, like the alternate colors, that's when I have guests on. So just adding a little bit of, you know, just freshen things up a little bit. But anyway, I've done that. And in turn, I've also reformatted the episodic structure, because I had like episode 1, 1.5, 1.75, 2, 2.5, 3, 3.2, 5, 5, 6, 7. I couldn't do it anymore. So, and also because stuff like Apple Music and Spotify was actually branding it as episode 1, episode 1.75. Let me explain that again. For example, episode 3, my third episode on this series, I put as 1.75, but obviously on Spotify and Apple Music, it's like episode 3, episode 1.75. It just got too much. So I've scrapped the whole stuff, scrapped it all. Now it's just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is episode 6 now. So hello, welcome to the 6th episode. Anyway, quick sip of my coffee, which I wouldn't recommend if you are quite anxious, but if you understand how adrenaline works and what caffeine does to you, then you should be okay. It's just all in the mind, but quick sip, hold on. Black Americano. Can't go wrong, really. Anyway, so the point is, that's the plan with the podcast so far. I am looking at doing videos, but again, probably not until 2021. I'd just rather do one thing at a time before I start planning video formula and stuff. I just need to get this structure done first. So, but yeah, eventually I will have videos up on YouTube, but that's not until next year. I need to just build the brand first and foremost. So anyway, let me just talk about what's been going on with me and how my life has been since that initial panic attack that I recorded back in episode 2 or 3. Anyway, so yes, since then, my life has changed massively, and I just wanted to bring attention to the fact that you can pick yourself back up after a really kind of depressive or anxious episode. For me personally, that panic attack was a wake-up call. And before I continue, I need to bring light to two amazing YouTube videos that I encourage you and implore you to watch before you listen any further. So, first video is on a YouTube channel called The School of Life, and the video is about hitting rock bottom. I'm going to put a link, I hope I can put a link in the description below, but if you search on YouTube, School of Life, rock bottom, you will find the video. Hopefully the first one, I hope. The second video is on a channel called Better Ideas, and the video is about the comfort zone. Again, I'm going to put the link in my description, but honestly, these two videos you need to watch all the way through before I continue any further. So please pause this now and watch those two videos. They're not long at all. Honestly, they're not long. They're like under 5 minutes each, I believe, I hope. And they're just you just need to watch them anyway. Whether you're going through stuff doesn't really matter. You need to watch them. So pause it, watch those videos. Go. Now, pause, go. Okay, so hopefully in your life, to shed that skin, to, you know, to cocoon into that butterfly, you need to do these things to grow as a person. And it's leveling up. It's almost like an online role-playing game. You know, it's another level. You've just gained another set of skills and you're leveling up further. And then you've got to start all over again on that level. It's difficult. And the game gets harder. But actually, you as a player, you're growing each time you level. You understand the game mechanics more. You understand how things work more. It's an amazing achievement. Yeah, it does get harder, but you get better. You get better. You improve at the game. So I think that's kind of that's the sort of analogy that I like to refer to when talking about the kind of the rock bottom effect. People dread it. People avoid talking about their depression, their mental health, their anxiety, because they're so afraid of that rock bottom feeling. But that rock bottom feeling is the best thing that could ever happen to us as human beings. Unfortunately, some people hit rock bottom and they do struggle, and some of them don't know how to get out of it. I'm not saying that, please understand that I'm not saying that it's a pleasant experience, because it really isn't. Hitting rock bottom is a fucking horrifying experience. It doesn't feel nice at all. But once you hit rock bottom, the only way is up. Unfortunately, some people do take it further and they never seem to, you know, a lot of people get to that point and end their lives, which is a really sad thing. But I'm not here to fucking paint it with, you know, in a colourful way. I'm being realistic. A lot of people hit that point and they take their own lives. That's when they really struggle. And I know there's probably loads of people listening here have hit rock bottom and thought to themselves, I don't want to live anymore. But are now sitting here looking back being like, fuck, I'm so glad that I powered through that because life got better. And that's what I'm kind of getting to now. Rock bottom is when your body starts to tell you stuff. It starts to kind of inform you that things need to change. A lot of the time we get warped and wrapped up into this kind of horrible sense of dread and pressure, and we really struggle. But actually, it's just when you have to start making viable changes to affect your life in a positive way. So my panic attack that I had recently was telling me that I was just living too routine-based, like too structured, just very closed off. My comfort zone, see where I'm going with this, my comfort zone was very small. And I was just doing little things and I wasn't really branching out. And bear in mind, I've been living in London where I was absolutely thrown out of my fucking depth. Like, went from living in Hove and, you know, living in this small, small city, Brighton and Hove, to then going to Brixton, which in turn, Brixton was bigger than Brighton anyway. And then having to, like, see mates on an, like, they're like an hour away. And it's scary. You're on your own. You're going through this massive city. Like, it was scary, but fuck me, my comfort zone expanded so much that life got so easy. There's a really good quote, which I actually saw in one of the comments off the comfort zone video that I've just spoken about. One of them was, if you do what is easy, life will be hard. But if you do what is hard, life will be easy. That to me is a fucking incredible quote. Honestly, that's an incredible quote. I've just realised that, you know, over time, when I came back from London to Brighton, yeah, we're in a pandemic, so I couldn't exactly do crazy amounts of stuff, which is, you know, that has a massive effect on it. But actually, for example, I'll be in Brighton and then my friend would say, oh, do you want to come meet me later? And it would be like 25-minute bus journey away. But in my head, I'm like, oh, it's just too far. I can't be arsed. I'm going to just stay in. But if I was in London, that would be like, that'd be down the road. It's easy. And actually, I felt very complacent and almost trapped in this little Brighton bubble of my comfort zone shrunk massively since London. So my comfort zone was small. I was only doing minimal amounts of stuff. Quick sip of my coffee. Hold on. And, oh, it's going cold. And I was just living this very mundane lifestyle, just working and going for a walk and then going home. And I wasn't really that happy. Drinking a lot, just felt like shit, really, to be honest. And I was putting so much pressure on myself, and I still am now, but I've learned how to kind of unwind a little bit more. But again, so my anxious breakdown and my kind of depression built up more and more, and then suddenly I had a panic attack. And it felt like shit, and I didn't know what to do for 2 days. But I recorded it on this series and I felt better for it, got some amazing feedback, amazing support. But also I've just realized that I had to just, you know, state to myself and remind myself and other people that these feelings and sensations do pass, and it did massively. So what have I done since then? Well, I had a chat with my sister, actually. Like, I sat down with her and I was like, oh, I feel really sad, like I want to do more stuff, but I feel like I'm sort of closing myself off. And she said to me, quote unquote, your comfort zone has shrunk since moving back from London. And it was so true. It really hit me hard. So the next day I started making plans, like as many plans as possible. I just didn't say no. I just said yes to everything. I was like, yes, we'll do that. We'll do that. We'll do that. I'll go here. I'll go there. Yep. I'll do it. Even if it felt mildly uncomfortable in my brain, I was like, fuck it. I'm going to do it. I bet it'll feel better. And you know what? Life got so fucking good. And that also in turn was why I didn't record any episodes on the podcast, because I was living quite a nice life. I was just it was the hottest couple weeks of the year in Brighton, and probably in the last like 20, 30 years. It was like 31 degrees down here. I was working 9 till 1, spent the rest of the day down the beach or going to different places, going to restaurants, going to places to eat, because obviously the whole eat out to help out scheme in the UK, where it's like half price food. I was loving it. I was doing so much stuff. I started making plans for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, lunch and dinner, sometimes even fucking breakfast as well. I was just doing so much stuff. And then just making sure I had plans every single day so that when I was going to bed on a Sunday, I knew that I had plans all the way up until Friday. Whereas before in my life, which also attributed to my breakdown, Monday to Friday was pretty fucking dead. I was just working and just doing my own thing and it was cool, but I'm an extrovert. I love doing stuff. Yeah, it does require spending a bit of money, but that's just unfortunately the sacrifice I have to make. And money just, you know, money's always there. You always keep making money if you're working, you know, like money comes and goes. That sounds maybe a little bit off a, I don't want to sound like a dickhead when I say that, but you know what I mean? Like, I can't just sit there and sit on money. If I want to, I can just go out and buy soft drinks when I go to pubs and stuff, you know, like I can just get lime and sodas. Some of them cost 50p, some of them are free. Like, it's fine. So anyway, point is, started doing more stuff. And beforehand, before all this, Monday to Friday was dead. So when it got to like Thursday, I was really excited for the weekend because I would actually see some friends on the Friday and Saturday. But then Sunday would hit me and I would feel quite depressed. I went back into that whole 5 days on my own again. Not nice. So instead, I made plans every day of the week. Just at least Monday to Wednesday. Because at that point, I would always have plans on Friday and Saturday. So Thursdays became the only day that I just did my own thing, and it felt amazing because I just actually really enjoyed my own company on those Thursdays because I would spend the majority of my time with people. Let me have a quick sip of my water. I'm really sorry. I don't want to edit this podcast. I just want to talk straight in a row, so it's easier if I just do this. So yeah, you can kind of see where I'm going with this and why I had this initial panic attack. But yeah, so I started doing more stuff, started making more plans, and that really helped. And in turn, that really added to my confidence, and just stuff started to help, and I just started to do new things that I wouldn't normally do. And with my friends, just like random stuff with like my group of friends, and it was so enjoyable. I've had such a good August, and we're in a pandemic, yet I've had such a good August. Probably one of my favourite Augusts in a long time. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm getting to at the moment. And yeah, I just wanted to kind of explain all that to you guys and explain that life does get better. And if you can hear what I'm trying to say at the moment, you can understand that I have been expanding my comfort zone again. And in turn, my whole life does feel more positive and I just feel like a better person for it. So that's what I wanted to kind of talk about today. The effects of going from a really bad experience to a really good experience, and that things do pass and things do get better. And I look back at that rock bottom moment and think, fuck, I'm so glad that happened to me because my life has changed for the better. So that's what I'm trying to explain now. That's why I implored you to watch those two videos, because actually you can understand now that things do get better, things improve. The butterfly kind of cocoon effect is real, almost like the shedding of the skin. It does happen. And in turn, me building my comfort zone even more has really helped me, and I just feel like a better person. I feel this is probably the best I've ever felt in my life now. And yeah, I just wanted to bring awareness to that. Not all mental health discussions need to be morbid and sad. You know, my mental health is really good at the moment. But I know things could get, I could hit rock bottom again, and I probably will in the next 12 months easily. Plus, because I may have just gone down one particular road which hasn't been healthy for me, and then suddenly my body's like, hey, stop, come back a second. You need to rewire your brain because something's been going wrong. Let's change that. So your brain is almost like a sort of sensor. It's just kind of like acting as a sensor for when things need to change. And this is why I'm yawning as I'm saying this. I'm sounding weird. I'm sorry. I can't stop it. This is what I'm saying when I try and encourage people to talk about mental health, and they get really anxious, understandably, and they don't want to talk about it, and they close themselves off. Like, I've got a friend, I'm not going to name, but it's really sad because I've been trying to say this to this person's face, but I find it really hard to say because I don't want to cause any distress. But I want to just say it now on this podcast. For example, this particular friend is in a really, really dark place at the moment. And I've said to this friend, maybe just have a listen to this podcast, at least. If you don't want to talk about it, just at least have a listen to this podcast and just really, maybe you'll find some solace in it, some find some peace. And this person said, oh, I just feel too anxious to listen to it at the moment because it was going to trigger my anxiety. That makes me so sad, because that avoidance and dismissive nature is really dangerous, because the more you avoid something, the more it gets worse and worse and builds up in your head. It's a terrible idea. But obviously, when you're distressed, it's hard to see it that way. I completely understand that. But the avoidance is probably the worst thing to do when you feel depressed or anxious. If you avoid it and brush it under the carpet, you are causing a potential catastrophe. It's just a terrible idea. You need to address it head on and face it head on. The more you avoid it and the more you continue to distract yourself, yeah, you could just get better naturally, but in turn, you start doing stuff that just stops you facing any sense of danger. So your comfort zone reduces. So it's so small, you just don't do anything. And I think that's a big issue for a lot of people. And I really worry about people who go through these episodes, and as in anxious episodes, not this podcast, and face trauma, and then they just close themselves off from any potential trigger. And they live this closed off life, like this minimal bare bone life, because they're so afraid of any anxiety. And I actually, you know, one of the guests that I had on quite recently, Sam Clouston, who I actually spoke to after the podcast, I said, you know, be careful, whatever works for you works, but be careful that you're not just now in turn closing yourself off from any potential trigger. You know, you still need to live your life and just face these things. Facing these dangers is what's going to help us grow and actually make the anxiety not appear fearful. Terrifying, really. You won't be fearful of it. So again, with the individual that I was just speaking about beforehand, I know a lot of people are very afraid to talk about or to listen to anything that may encourage their anxiety to be triggered, but that's the problem. The more you do that, the more scary anxiety is going to be. And every time you go through these feelings of anxiety and depression, you're going to close yourself off further and further each time, but that's never going to work. As soon as you start feeling anxious and depressed, that's when you should speak about it straight away. That's when you should address it straight away, personally. That's when you should start really just facing it, being like, right, what's triggering me? How can I deal with this? Let me face it head on now. And every time you do that, you tick off something in your life each time. It will never get that bad again. Every single time I go through panic attacks, if I look back in my life, honestly, they're never as bad as the previous one. It gets better and better each time. You become so desensitized to it because you keep facing it. You know, like, I remember when I first had panic attacks back in the day, fuck me, that was terrifying. I literally felt like my world was crashing down around me. But now it's like, I almost get angry. I laugh it off. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, here we go. Fucking panicking, aren't I? Great. What's it this time? Like, it's almost just like a joke. The same can be said about loads of stuff in your life. The more you do stuff, the more you just get desensitized to it. Do you remember when you first had to like go for job interviews, how fucking scary it was? Yeah, it can still be scary now, but let's be honest, you just get desensitized. Same as dating, right? You go on all these dates. When you first go on a couple dates, you fucking shit yourself. But now it's like, yeah, I'm just going for a date with someone. Or like public speaking, all these things that seem so scary. When you do it a couple of times, it's just like a normal thing in your life and your comfort zone expands. I hope you understand where I'm going with this episode. And I'm not trying to dismiss anyone. I'm not trying to disrespect anyone as well. So this particular friend that I'm referring to, I mean this person means so much to me as well. But this, I'm just hoping that this person will listen to this episode and understand what I'm trying to say. I just want to be there for people. And I think when you start closing yourself off and when you start to really detract yourself from society and life because you feel anxious or depressed, you're just going to make things harder for yourself. But facing your fears and stepping forward and really doing stuff which feels dangerous is the first step. I hope that makes a lot of sense. And I'm going to actually contact this person after this episode to reach out to make sure that they are okay. But again, I'm going to leave it there. Thanks for listening to this episode. So again, I hope you like this kind of formula where I do like a sort of a solo episode, but also like a guest episode in between. But yeah, thanks again for everyone who's listened and supported the podcast so far. Really do appreciate it. I am looking to do a Q&A very soon. Most likely I will do a post on Instagram, which is instagram.com/myfirstpanicattack. So @myfirstpanicattack. That's my only social media channel at the moment. I'm not looking to start a Facebook or Twitter just yet because I just don't really have the content for it. So for now, I think Instagram is a suitable platform. But yeah, so I'm going to do a Q&A very soon. Would love to get some questions in from people and also some recommendations about what people want to hear from me and or my guests. So that'll be coming very soon. So please do check that out on Instagram. And yeah, thanks again for everyone listening. And I hope this episode hasn't been too morbid for some people. I hope you can take something from this episode. But again, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you in the next one.